We're gonna not gonna bury the lead.
Okay,
we're gonna be right open and up front.
Good news, bad news.
So those of our longtime listeners will remember that at the very beginning of this podcast, we very quickly used the D word for our marriage. And today we've got another D word, which is discontinued. I have been discontinued from this podcast. I've been asked to cease and desist all engagement with the Mr. Homemaker podcast. And so we're here to talk about that today. We're not getting divorced. Great.
Good news. That's the good news.
Good news.
Yeah.
It's also good news that I think we're going on to the next evolution of the podcast. So
yeah.
I'm actually super excited about where we're going.
Yeah. So we just passed, we're like 2 weeks after the 2 year mark.
Wow.
Yeah. 2 years ago was our first episode of the Mr. Homemaker podcast. Now, for those who are just finding us this moment for the series finale, real quick reminders, 2 years ago, I was on a sabbatical from work. I had been commuting like hour and a half plus one way every day, 5 days a week for months. And the strain that was placing on our marriage dynamic and our family dynamics and our ability to like juggle everybody's schedules and all that. Basically got to a point where we said, okay, we've got to change something. I'm going to take a sabbatical from work so we can assess our situation and decide what our next steps are going to be.
Yeah.
Now, 2 years later,
we're still coming up with those next steps.
2 years ago, how do you think where we are today is the same or different than where you, what was in your mind in February of 2022, when the Mr. Homemaker podcast launched?
I mean, I thought you'd be back at work. I thought it was going to be like 6 months, maybe a year. We'd be like, oh, okay, well, this doesn't work. And no, I mean, I think we're in all honesty, I think we're in a much better place. You know, I think this was one of the best things that we have done. I won't say like, and I don't mean easiest, right? Some people are like best, like, oh, it all is working great. I'm like, no, like it's actually probably one of the harder things we've ever done. But I think that it is our marriage and our like ability to coordinate on parenting is getting better. I think our household is running generally more smoothly than it was. And I think that our kids are like, Dad, go back to work. Dad's so mean. Why do you have to leave? It's been a great 2 years. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
That means like our littlest was like a baby.
Yeah.
It wasn't
a year yet.
And as a reminder, right. And as a reminder, like it wasn't just like your commute, but it was like we could not find suitable childcare. And even to this day, we live in New England. I was just talking to someone who was saying she's paying her nanny $30 an hour. And still, like, having challenges keeping that person because of, like, the market here. So,
you're saying that's not enough to keep the
right.
that person committed.
Like, people are even outbidding that. Childcare is an absolute struggle. And I think we were, so it was a little bit forced and a little bit of a decision of, we're not only, like, struggling with this, which is adding stress on top of our life, but we're struggling with, like, the resulting dynamics in our house of me trying to work full-time and having nannies that are sometimes there and sometimes not and come and go. And, you know, so I was coming off of maternity leave and it was just not, you know, it was not working out.
We're now 2 years deep into you being a full-time remote worker, working from home,
right,
where your children are a good portion of every day, including, like, our youngest is still around.
Right.
The entire day, a couple work days every week and like half day the other days. So yeah, like what have you found over the last couple of years to be like, this is better, this is harder, this is different than what I thought it was going to be like,
right,
when we sort of chose this model of like how we were going to do work-life balance stuff?
So the first thing is there's never enough time with your kids. both from your perspective, but more importantly, from their perspective.
Yeah.
I think, like, I think the girls are more attuned to, like, they're like, you're always working. I'm like, I'm not always working. I'm actually, you see me way more than you ever did when you were little because, right. like, I'm not commuting and I can come down when you're here. But the flip side is they recognize that they get home at 3:30 and they're like, want to hang out with me, and I have another two right. hours of work.
Right. I have to be the cop who's like, not allowed to go up to mom's office. Right.
And I think yeah. if I was out of sight, out of mind, it might be different. But they, mm-hmm. because they know I'm right there, it's like a constant reminder that I am always working, and they can hear me, right? Mm-hmm. They can hear me like having a conversation, or I've noticed.
If you get animated on a Zoom, like we can all hear
yeah.
your side of the conversation.
Well, and like I find them playing Office, and I can hear them saying some of the things that I say, and I'm like, oh, they never would have done this, right? But like I am present in the home all the time. And yeah. so I think that on the one hand, it's great because, like, for instance, the other day, our middle daughter had like a mystery reader at school. And rather than having to figure out how am I going to get home in the afternoon or am I going to take a half day, I was like, this is going to be a 15-minute thing. So on my lunch, I went over, I read, I came back.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot more time there. But I think the kids, like, I thought the kids would be like, oh, like, we always see our mom. And like, there's still the guilt of like, you're never here.
What would you say were like your top three, like, things we learned, things we accomplished, things that are like highlights for you about this 2 years of Mr. Homemaker podcasting? I mean, I really mean like me being at home. I don't necessarily mean the podcasting,
yeah.
but we can do a different thing about, like, what did you learn being a podcast star?
Yeah. I mean, it's been great.
Do you want to start with that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel more like, I was thinking about this, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, now I know what, like, Elizabeth on The View felt like, or like Heidi Klum when she left Project Runway. Like, this thing goes on, and you're just like, God, it's like, the new mom. I hope you don't get a new mom sitting in this chair. The new mom on like Family Matters. Suddenly there's a new mom. You're like, wait a minute. She definitely isn't the same person. So anyway, I feel like I'm feeling that, you know, that sad disconnect as I leave the podcast. It's been great to be a podcast star. No, I think the things that I think have been really impactful and successful and things that we've like learned over this 2 years. One is, I think the family strategic plan is gold. I think that it has helped us to define what we're spending money on, how we're investing our time, and what we're going to prioritize in our lives, whether it's our kids' extracurriculars or what activities are we going to engage with. And we've hit some home runs. I think we've had some challenges, like the kind of community service piece has not manifested in the way I want it to yet. But I think part of it is also recognizing that I feel like I'm letting myself off the hook a little bit, but it's like, sometimes the way in which you envision something is not right for your family at that time, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, we're all going to like volunteer at the soup kitchen every, you know, Tuesday night. And then I was told like, yeah, no, you have to be over the age of 12. So I was like, okay, well, that's like not going to work. And then, so then it's the balance of, well, we prioritize time as a family. So, and I already have my activities that I do on my own. So does it make sense for me to leave the house and do soup kitchen things? Or is it like, well, let's find a different activity. And then I just never found the next service thing.
Yeah.
So I think, but the family strategic plan, I think, has guided a lot of our conversation. I think the financial audit that we did was really important to kind of like, I mean, that, right, is amazing that we went from a 2-income household to a 1-income household. We have not gone into debt. We have not saved the way we wanted.
Yeah.
But we have been able to prioritize time with our kids, and it really has not impacted our finances very much. In fact, like, we weren't saving that much before either. So it's not like we were like, well, we were saving all this money, right. And now, so like, there's probably
we've essentially maintained a financial status quo. Right. Despite losing one of two incomes.
Right. We have dipped a little, right? We like dipped into some like our like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
but for the most part, we've been pretty well able to maintain that, which is great. And I think that's something I just didn't think that was ever possible, right? Like, we were just like used to being a 2-income household and all these things.
And this topic actually, because there's like 4 different, you know, like rabbit trails I want to go down from that single topic. But they'd eat up all of our time. But there's also just a lot of considerations and complexities, because one of the things that continues to dominate sort of how we think about things is that we are not people who either as a lifestyle desire or as like a necessity, we're trying to like race to retirement.
Right.
Everything like this, our entire approach would be different if like we were people who either because of the kind of work we do, we're like, I can't do this for more than like once I'm 55 or once I'm 60, like I can't keep doing this job.
Right.
Like that we'd have to change everything about all of this. Or even if we were just like, yeah, like I want to work. And then, but once I get to X years old, like I want to be living in Tampa or, you know, like that's my dream.
Boca.
What? I don't know. Just, it was like the first city that came to mind. But I guess what I'm saying is because we're not those people.
Right.
We are under less time pressure. And so that like us like being like, well, we're just essentially maintaining a financial status quo.
Right.
For us, that's not a huge downside. But if other couples with different financial situations or goals, that would be different for them.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the really important takeaway lesson, right? Is you really have to understand what you want and what you have the ability to do. Like if you plan to pay for all of your children's college in full, we're not on that plan, right? Like or if you are, like you said, like we are in jobs where we have a lot of, well, I have a lot of flexibility in, like I get great vacation time. I can be flexible in what I'm doing. And as we talked about, it's not a physically demanding job. It's a very mental job. And so like we know that we will still be able to live the lifestyle we want if I continue to work until I'm 80. And like, that's fine. And also when you read a lot of studies, they say that like actually people live longer when they keep their minds occupied and they have like a regular thing they do.
Yeah.
So again, I love what I do. So I will, you know, why wouldn't I just continue to do that? And not everybody's in that position.
Yeah.
So I think you're totally right.
Yeah. So, I mean, of all the things we could say on the financial like decision tree, that's I think that's one of the defining things that we need to acknowledge puts us in a different category than a lot of other people.
Right.
So yeah, I do think that the family strategic plan, like us going through that process, you know, basically we've done that annually, you know, so we've done it in full, like twice now, you and I have really like sort of re-auditing everything we're doing and how we're spending our time and how we're approaching the upcoming year. I think that has been very beneficial.
Yeah.
I do think the deep dive into the finances opened our eyes to, you know, the ability we did have to make, you know, a handful of manageable adjustments that gave us a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
And so I think like the return on investment of if we can do X, Y, and Z, then I can be around all the time and I don't have to like be answerable to somebody. Why am I not here at 9 a.m. kind of thing?
But I think it also to be like fair, it has not gone without sacrifice either. Like we are very careful with what we buy. We are like one pair of sneakers people. I know people who are like, I have 20 pairs of sneakers. Like it's just, that's not us.
Sure.
Or like there are like times when I'm like, oh, I really wanted to get some new clothes, but we're not.
Yeah.
And I'm not less, I mean, I'm probably less happy in the moment, but I'm not like less happy from like not being able to do those things. But we've also like offset, right? Like we really want to go on a trip to Disney. That's not in our cards right now.
Yeah.
And we have not gone on a real vacation. We are lucky that we have my parents and my aunt and uncle live in really like in fun places. So it's like we have the ability, like it still feels like we're getting away and doing something, but it's not, you know, and we get to like, you know, have a night out when we go visit or whatever.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that as much. I don't think we're going on less dates, but I'm even more like cost anxious about it.
Right.
Because we just weren't going on dates before either because we just didn't have the time. We don't like to pay babysitters crazy.
Right.
So I do think like we like go out to dinner far less. Like we're just very careful in the decisions that we're making and you have to be able to do that. And the last piece is we're not saving for your retirement. Like we're still putting in all the money through my retirement.
Right.
But like we have put on pause, but like you said, we know we've got time. We've and got so a 2 to 3 year runway. Blip is not like it was worth it to us.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. And I think the more we've reflected on that in this 2 year period, but also just like as we've contemplated and discussed our life more, I do think that one of the big takeaways I have that I think I constantly want to like broadcast and like share with others is I really had it in my head that the goal was to achieve some kind of like equilibrium in life. Mm-hmm. With like with your job and with your family and with your like daily routine. And like the goal is if I can just like balance all of the plates or like whatever in such a way, then like I've done it. And like now everything fits. And like now there's like, it's just smooth sailing from here on out. It's just a matter of like optimizing things once.
Right.
And, you know, I think we've really gotten to a place of understanding like how much life is divided into chapters, mm-hmm. where each chapter is entirely different and the demands on you are totally different, and what your priorities have to be and what you can spend your time on, your money on. Like it, you have to think about your life as a series of different stages, you know, distinct. Phases, whatever. Yeah. But like,
I call it seasons, right? When I'm like counseling my like younger colleagues and they ask like, how can you be like a full-time employee and really doing well and a mom? And I'm like, you can't. Like you can do all of those things, but you cannot do all of them at 110%. And you have to recognize that there are going to be seasons in your life. This is maybe a much better manager because I didn't understand it when I was young. But it's like, I was a hard charger for 15 years. And then I realized that I wanted to put more time into being a mom. And I still have a very exciting and demanding job. But I am not like, it's not like all my emails are done when I'm done for the day. It's like sometimes I never get to that thing. And I've just had to recognize that there is an infinite amount of things that I could do to make my program better, more efficient, be more timely. But the reality is like, I'll never achieve it. I'll never be like, slap the table, because there'll always be something else. So I've been very like, I like counsel a lot of them to say like, you just have to recognize and give yourself the grace in that time for that season. Because like, there'll be a point when your kids don't need you as much, right. Or when you are in, you know, 10 years from now and our kids are out of the house, and then you can pick up the slack for the next generation of, and I usually start, I'm counseling women, but you can take up the slack for the next generation of women that are coming behind you that are going to need to check out at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that are going to need somebody else to extend that grace to them. So I think it's kind of, you know, that cycle and acknowledging that is important. I think it's interesting to hear you say that, because I think I am just by nature a much more kind of like flexible and I'd say like loosey goosey kind of like, I'm like, oh, like we're going to do this. Oh, no, you want to do this. Okay, we'll do this. So I wanted you to talk a little bit more about kind of your transition into like understanding, like sometimes these things are not going to, it's not going to be consistent always.
Well, I mean, I guess it's more of a matter of, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know. Like even when we were married and our kids were young, like back when we only had two kids, you know, I don't think it isn't as if I had really thought out in detail, like, oh, here's how it's all going to play out. And then I found out I was incorrect. It's more like I hadn't thought it all the way through. Like, how are things going to play out? Like, as the kids get older and as schedules change and, right. Like, how are we going to resolve? I just sort of like, well, we'll figure it out as it happens.
Right.
But, I mean, things changed to a greater magnitude and more quickly than I thought that they would. And, like, when a kid hits, like, school age, everything's different, like dramatically different. Of like, oh no, that there's a schedule that you can't just be like, I don't want to drop my kid off at that time. I want to drop him. No, you will have to have this drop off time and this pickup time. You don't get to negotiate with daycare about like,
right.
What, you know, daycare was kind of spoiled us, right? Like we had a huge amount of the day you could leave your child there in a huge window of drop off and pickup.
Right.
And then like what, kindergarten, first grade, not like that.
Right.
It's like the bus comes at this time.
Right. Or there is, if you're doing drop-off, there is a 15-minute window.
Right.
And if you miss that, even if you are pulling up to the school at that moment, the doors are closed, they're late, you got to bring them in.
Right.
And then there's the government parameters on, like, how many days your kid can be late and how many times your kids can miss school. So it is. It's a very, the structure is different.
Yeah. And then the other thing which for me was, like, really the big wake-up that precipitated a lot of this on my side was I was caught a little bit off guard at how early I started to be aware of like, oh, our kids are like learning stuff. Like they're like reaching developmental milestones where it matters to be able to have a consistent dialogue with your child about like, no, like this is how you should behave or not behave, or this is like why it's important for you to care about school or whatever. Like, what, you know, pick the thing you want to talk about, like a parenting scenario. Like, that's sort of snuck up on me.
Right.
And so then, you know, when our oldest was 5, I was like, wait a minute. Where's this coming from? Where's all this like parenting stuff coming from? I was sort of like thinking we would just jump from, no, I have a toddler in daycare and now I have a teenager. This whole window from like 5 to 12, I was really not prepared for.
Yeah.
And so, again, like I just hadn't thought about, oh, at some point, like going back to when you and I were just two working, you know, single people or married without kids yet, or even having our first in daycare, like we just worked as much as we could stay awake. Right. Like, it didn't even matter. Right. There's like as much out, as many hours as I can fit into the day of working.
Right.
I will, just to move the ball forward on my pet project or to try to like chase the next assignment, you know, whatever the thing was.
Yeah.
There was just nothing else on the other side of the scales you're trying to balance that with.
Right.
And so it hit me hard realizing, oh, I'm supposed to be putting a bunch of time and effort into the other side of this scale. Mm-hmm. I'm putting no time and effort into the other side of the scale.
Right.
And so it definitely took me off guard. That happened earlier in our children's development than I thought it would.
And I think it's both happened earlier and then, but again, when you are transitioning from daycare to elementary school, daycare is your routine. Everything that happens, the kids know what a routine is because they do it for 10 hours a day. Right. In fact, you know, there is the joke about like daycare is like the best thing for potty training because it's literally your daycare potty trains your kid.
Well, the other thing that we should also know is we got spoiled as well because we were in like a very efficiently run daycare. Like not every daycare is the same.
Yeah.
Our daycare in DC was very much like they knew what they were doing. They had a system for everything kind of deal.
But I mean like, so then your kids come back from school and it's like, there's so many more hours in the day that they're home that you are in control of their routine. Now back that up a little bit more. We went into COVID and nobody had any daycare and nobody had any structures for their kids because they weren't home with you. Now suddenly you really don't have the time to even start defining those structures because you're trying to also work at the same time that you have your kids. So it's been like a kind of a crazy ride, but.
Yeah, right.
But I think you're right. So like the family strategic plan, the financial audit, structuring like what your day looks like and the amount of time, like the balance of your life between work and being a parent. The other things that occur to me that like stick out. So one, we did not establish a Martha Stewart level of cleanliness, I think.
Well, we did for like 2 months.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, that was when we were in the phase of, I'm going to focus on one thing at a time and like master each thing and then move on to the next thing to master. And then we decided, well, we're overwhelming ourselves trying to like keep all the plates spinning at once. So let's just spin one plate at a time. Yeah. And I will say, I feel strongly, you may not, but like when my focus was, oh, I'm going to like clean the bathrooms and clean the floors and like do all the, keep up with all of the household stuff. I did that.
Right.
The problem was I couldn't maintain that and do two other things at the same time.
Right. I think it is very difficult unless you are like, you drop your kids off at school and that's what you do is clean your home, which is a very important and valuable thing. But that's not like that really does, it takes over and precludes like a lot of the other things that you want to do.
Sure.
One. And two, I don't think we achieved, I think we achieved Martha Stewart's level of cleanliness in some ways, but like, it's not like our fridge was always wiped down or that like we were consistently like cleaning the glass and the cabinets in there and we got to none of the household things.
No,
like the gutters and
I cut it off at, so she has daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal, and annual levels. And I was doing all the daily and weekly stuff.
Right.
We never got to a systematic implementation of, oh, it's the first of the month. We're supposed to.
Right.
Whatever. Like flip all the, the mattresses you're supposed to do twice a year, flip their mattress or whatever, that kind of stuff. So yeah, we didn't do any of those longer arc things. Right. That's true.
So I think that it is, what I have learned is that like, it really kind of is almost impossible to achieve that level of cleanliness with also if you were trying to do anything else in your life.
Well, I think that's one of those, I think there's a couple of factors. One, it's a season of life thing. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to wrangle three kids under, you know, 7 and under, like you have a lot less time to keep up with that stuff. Like, that would be different if they were younger or older, but at the, this is not the chapter where focusing on Martha Stewart is, like, gonna prevail. I also think we have to acknowledge that a lot of the Mr. Homemaker experimentation was, like, climbing the learning curve. It's not a matter of, like, oh, I had a perfectly maintained, like, house, you know, homemaking rhythm, and then we introduce children into the situation. Can we keep up our perfect system? What? No, it's more like, okay, I have three kids, and I'm trying to figure out how to keep up with laundry. Well, that's a big, that's like a big jump, you know, from no laundry routine on my end. To, I mean, they go through a lot of clothes. Kids get real dirty all day long. Sometimes it's we like we'll fill a hamper in a day between the three of them. Like if it's a, you know, playing outside kind of day and somebody has a, you know, a loose diaper and, you know, things get crazy fast.
No, I think that I think you're right. And I think that the kind of the last thing I had in my notes was that, but I think that our household operations are much better. And I think we are a much better team. I wish everybody could take a sabbatical, right? Because like you now could run this house single-handedly. It would not be ideal. But like, you know, before you were like, I don't know how to do the laundry. What do I do about the dishes? How do I clean the bathroom? And I'm like, no, like, when there are weeks that I am, I can't do a thing or I'm gone, you are fully able to do that. And I think I can mostly take on all the things that you would do, like short of like the, you know, I'm going to snake the drain kind of thing. But
well, and the other, on that note, I think it's really another sort of one of our greatest hits, you know, lessons learned is how much of sort of marital discord is the result of like the curse of knowledge. Where one spouse, they know the system. It's their system. They know what's in the cupboards because they're the one who put the groceries away. And like they know the laundry routine because they're the one who does it. And so then when they, that spouse, says, hey, can you take care of making the kids lunches for school? That poor guy is like, I have no idea what you feed these kids. I have no idea what we have. I don't even, you know, like, I don't know where anything is.
And through no fault of his at that time.
But it's very common and, you know, understandable to a degree that that mom is going to be like, oh, my husband is so unreliable. He's so incompetent. He can't figure out how to do anything. I have to do it all. It's like, well, he wasn't really set up for success in that situation. And so like you and I have gone through a couple of those patterns of recognition where it's like once I do a thing for a while and you've sort of been out of that, that routine, even if it's just because you went on a business trip, it's not because you're not contributing, but I'm just saying, like, if you're out of the mix and then you get try to reinsert yourself in the mix, you're like, oh, I'm totally unequipped to navigate this right now.
I think the two like kind of really succinct examples are laundry and snacks, two things that seemingly would be like any idiot could do this, but when you're like, okay, so there's a bin of laundry that I've put outside. Is it clean? Is it dirty? Because sometimes I'm doing multiple loads of laundry and I don't get a chance to fold it. And so I'm taking the stuff out of the dryer. I'm putting it in the clean hamper. I'm taking it. But then like, you know, like you can smell test it. You know, it's like it's in this weird phase of like, so where are we with this? Similarly to snacks, like I used to get annoyed when you were like, well, what should I give them? I'm like, oh, do I have to make every decision? Just go get them a snack. But the reality is when the other person's doing it, I'm like, I don't know if our son's eaten 12 bananas or 10 cookies. Like, so I'm not sure where on his kind of balanced day, like, are the things like, has he had three oranges and that's too much acidic for, you know? So I think that that was a really like big eye opener for me because I do hear a lot of my girlfriends like complain about like, I don't understand why my husband just can't do this thing. I'm like, well, because like he's not the one that has been, that knows kind of where you are on that trajectory right now. So, but I think that this has kind of been like, this experiment's been like the great equalizer in some ways. So I still think that we now can specialize in things, but also know that like, if you're out sick for a week, like you have COVID, although COVID guidelines now say you don't even have to quarantine anymore. But like, say you had, you were very sick and you were, or you went on a trip. I know like how to do everything and you know how to do everything. So I think that's super important. Because I think if people resent having to do the, even if I like doing the thing, at some point I resent, like, why do I have to cook dinner every single night? And so, like, it's nice to be able to, like, you know, give and take a little there.
Okay, good.
On a future Mr. Homemaker.
I wanted to put you on the spot while I had the tape rolling.
Yeah.
What will it take for me to talk you into getting your own podcast? Where you, like that kind of advice you were talking about that you give to younger versions of yourself, IRL, like when you are mentoring women in the workplace about how to juggle their responsibilities as a wife and a mother and mm-hmm. their career. I mean, that is also an audience that deserves to, like, receive wisdom.
It's true.
I am not the right person to give that wisdom.
Yeah. Can I do it on a beach?